Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It is where you can go and hear real information, not fake news, but real stuff, real people talking about real stuff. That's what RBN's about. So it is the week of Christmas. We are Monday, Christmas is Friday. You still have time to send RBN a Christmas present, ho, 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 and Jesus is Lord. You can still do all of that stuff. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send shekels. Also go to nationalbugle.com, which is where you can get the ultimate stocking stuffer, which is the Koshertified app. It fits in any stocking. Doesn't necessarily fit in any phone, because Tim Cook is totally gay and won't let the Koshertified app on the Apple Store. But even then, you can use Koshertified online. So go there, nationalbugle.com, and click on the Koshertified link. Today's Monday. Monday is that great day of the week everybody looks forward to, where Mark Collett joins the show. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. And I'd like to start by wishing all of the listeners a very, very Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a great New Year as well. Actually, I'll probably be on again before the New Year. I might be. I'm not sure. I don't know what the schedule looks like. And will we be doing a show between Christmas and New Year?
Sure will be. It'll be our Kwanzaa show.
It'll be our Kwanzaa show, yes. So I will be back. I will be back, people. Do not fear. You'll have more Mark Collett before the end of the year. But Merry Christmas to you all. I hope you're enjoying this festive season, although, to be honest, I'm a little worn, Patrick.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I wasn't even sure if you were going to be there, because isn't, like, practically everyone in England dead already from the new coronavirus?
Well, as I was about to say, I'm feeling a bit worn, just a little bit worn down. I think I've just about had enough. And I haven't had enough of the festive fun. Who can ever have enough of festive fun? But I think I have just about had enough of the government, the mainstream media, and social media and big tech and their lies on coronavirus. I truly have had a gutful. And I find it hilarious. Just as we get this vaccine, just as we get this miracle cure that's meant to ensure that none of us die from this, that life can go back to normal and all this stuff, you know, no more masks, we've got the vaccine, it's all time to start living again. What happens? Well, what happens indeed? Apparently, there is now a mutant super strain, super COVID, and we're in a little bit of a pickle, aren't we? Because all of these people,
what does it do?
Well, apparently it's 70% more infectious. So I'm not sure how that works, but apparently it does. Apparently it exists, and people are panicking. And we had a three-tier system, and Boris has added a tier four. He has locked down London, large parts of the home counties and the southeast, and said, that is it. No more Christmas. Christmas has been cut from 5 days to 1 day. Huge swathes of the country, I think about 38 million people, in fact, have been banned from even seeing anyone on Christmas Day. You know, it's lockdown central. And the most depressing thing is, there's still quite a lot of people who are buying this nonsense.
So I have a few questions. One, is it supposedly more dangerous to people?
Apparently, it's no more dangerous. It's just infectious.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the first coronavirus, I mean, if we're to take things at face value, is too contagious to contain, but it's not very harmful. So you can't contain it. And now if this is 70%, I mean, if it's 70% more contagious, it means that if you did nothing other than protect the vulnerable people, you would be done with it 70% faster than you would have been done with the other one had you done nothing. But, you know, by trying to here's the thing. So you can't stop people from getting it. It's a virus. It's going to go around. Boris Johnson's on a fool's errand, but he's the right man for the job.
Well, I'm looking at this, and it ceased to be reality for me. It's now something out of a Hollywood movie. I don't know if you've seen 28 Days Later or any of these films which are based around a zombie outbreak or an infectious disease, but that's what it's like. There's massive travel bans in place. Many, many countries won't allow any travellers from the UK, which in itself is hilarious because our politicians repeatedly tell us there's no way there can be effective travel bans. There's no way to effectively control immigration. We live in a global world. It can't be done. Well, it's amazing how quickly it's been done to the British people over this corona, this new strain, alleged new strain of the coronavirus. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, as I said, it's like something out of a horror film. What you're seeing now is just absurd. And I'm seeing people, or we're seeing people in the UK, flood towards the train stations, trying to get out of major cities, trying to specifically get out of London. Boris said the new laws come in on midnight. Tier 4 comes in on midnight. People are literally packed into train stations, packed onto trains, doing anything they could to get out of London. That's like a horror film. But even better,
they're packed into trains. I mean, aren't they going to be spreading the virus?
Look, it gets even better, Patrick. People are banned from traveling to other European countries. I think Germany and Italy have imposed bans. So what are they doing? Well, I'll tell you what they're doing. And I think this will make you smile. They all jumped on planes to Dublin, Ireland, so that they could then catch connecting flights, because people aren't banned from catching connecting flights from Dublin, but they are banned from flying within the UK. So if they're flying from Dublin, they're fine. If they're flying from within the UK, they're not fine. So people were boarding planes as quickly as they could, flying to Dublin so that they could get connecting flights to other European countries. As I said, this isn't something that seems normal. This is something like out of a horror film, like out of 28 Days Later or some other film like that. And you've got to wonder two things. First is how many people actually still believe this? Because even the mainstream media here in the UK are starting to say this doesn't add up. You know, they're starting to actually put scientists in the paper who are saying there's no evidence of this. There's no evidence of a more infectious strain. The government's provided no evidence. We need to see evidence before we lock down again. And that's the first thing that's been said. But you've got to say is how many people still believe this? And the second thing is how much longer are people going to go along with this? Because this has been going on now since March of last year. Since March of last year, we've been living with
March
this.
Of this year.
Sorry, March of this year, we've been living with this. And we are now heading potentially into a second year of COVID lockdowns, of restrictive travel bans, of you can't go out, you can't do this, you can't do that. How much longer are people actually going to take this? How much longer are people going to say, this is okay. We're willing to live like this. We're willing to go along with this agenda.
Mm.
And at that point, you've got to say something, Patrick. You have to say, okay, if people are willing to, if people are, you know, obviously if people... If people are willing to go along with it, that's very sad, because at the moment it's not like we're being treated like adults. It's like we're children in a primary school being told what to do, being bossed around, being ordered about, spoken to like children. Oh well, if you're good little children, you will be allowed Christmas next year. And personally, I find it disgusting. I find it utterly repulsive the way we're being spoken to. It's insulting. We are having our liberties stripped away, and watching people taking it lying down, I've got to admit, it's a little bit depressing that the British people are so willing to be told what to do like this, be treated like children. It's not what I would have hoped for.
So I think they're playing a very, very high stakes game. It's kind of, I've talked a lot with Dr. Duke. He likes to give me credit for having come up with this crazy Jews versus cunning Jews, which I was only in, I shouldn't even be talking about it. That was like a private conversation I was having with him, but he liked those terms. But what I use in public, which actually I think is more apt, is double or nothing. And it's not like everything's Jews, but we do have a Jewish-dominated elite that is behind all of this. And double or nothing versus cash in your chips and come home, come back tomorrow. And the double or nothing crowd is definitely, they have the upper hand right now. And they're playing a very dangerous game. And as my co-host Jeremy says, play dangerous games, win dangerous prizes. So the thing is, they're doing this, and you can ask, well, how long are people going to accept it? But think, I mean, how long has it been that we've had, I mean, in the United States, it's so obvious, probably not quite as obvious in Britain, but you have, in the United States, you have this ruling class that is completely dominated by Jews, and you talk about the tech companies, you talk about the media companies, and the massive, not just overrepresentation, but the, you know, majority of the people running these companies are Jewish. And you look at, you know, for instance, the impeachment of Donald Trump, or you look at, you know, what was it, chapter 7 of Kevin McDonald's book on immigration. You just see the massive role in Jews in immigration, massive here and there, and nobody will talk about it. So they get away with that. They get away with all sorts of things. But this is a very dangerous game because, you know, once if they do something this big and this bold and people do say, hey, wait a minute, if they get pushed back on this, and then you get people looking around saying, well, if they lied to us so big about coronavirus, what else have they been lying to us about? If the media loses its credibility over coronavirus, then what happens to all of these other fake narratives about diversity, for instance, about, you know, immigration making us stronger, or even about it's not Jews who run the media, there's no Jewish power, what happens to those? So do you think it's a dangerous game?
I think they're always playing a dangerous game, but I think the key here is we're moving into some kind of, if you like, end game. I think we're moving into an end game. I think now we're going beyond what we've previously gone beyond, what we were previously at before. This is a new level of tyranny, a new level of it's a new level of power that they're granting to themselves. That would be the best way to put it. They're giving themselves a new level of power. And this new level of power,
that new level, is there any coming back from it? Or maybe that's what you're getting at.
I don't know. And that's the interesting thing. It's very difficult to say whether there is or whether there isn't a way back from this. Because this is historic. The times we're living in are historic times. And it's very interesting to look at this and say, never before in Western nations, especially, well, not in living memory anyway, has so much been taken away from normal people. Never before have we seen so much being taken away from the average person on the street. And we're not just taking away their jobs. You're not just taking away their right to freedom of speech. You're not just taking away their right to leave their homes, but you're now potentially taking away their right to decide whether they can or cannot be vaccinated, whether they get the choice to say whether something is pushed into their body or not. And I think that is a massive, massive leap. That is taking things to a level that has never, ever, ever been seen before. And I think based on that, the government are obviously playing, from their perspective, somewhat of a dangerous game, because this is, to a degree, it is a gamble. They are saying, will the public accept this? And we often talk about the analogy of boiling the frog. We often talk about the government deciding whether they can push it, or how quickly they can push the agenda on us. And the answer here is they are pushing that to the max. This is their major play to see exactly how far they can push their agenda, how far they can push what they're doing before we as the public say, no, nope, we've had enough, we won't take it anymore. But unfortunately, and this is the thing that does bother me, I am not on Twitter in the sense that I can post anymore, but I can still view what's going on Twitter. And I do go on Twitter from time to time to see what's trending, to see what people are talking about, because that is helpful to me. In other ways, it's always helpful to me to see what other people are speaking about and what is an important topic at that particular time. And I look at I've been looking at what's been trending on Twitter for the last couple of days. And I've got to say this, it doesn't fail to amaze me just how many people are buying in to the coronavirus narrative, the vaccination rhetoric, and how many of those people are absolutely 110% behind what the government are saying. And I see people on social networks saying things like, well, if only we'd locked down harder in summer. Well, it's just one Christmas. You know, these selfish people who want their Christmas, you know, if there's going to be more Christmases, there'll be a Christmas next year. And that's what they're saying. And unfortunately, those people do exist. And I know that the sort of Twitter nutters aren't the be-all and end-all of the world. I know that these people, they aren't representative of everybody. But at the very least, they're an extremely sizable minority, maybe 25, 30% of the public. And these people are going along with it, and they're going along with it like religious zealots. They're absolutely buying into it, and they are ready to, whether we like it or not, push that upon everybody else and say that everyone else should, you know, be going along with this. And I think that's something that people like you and I need to take note of. I think that's something that people on our side of the fence need to take note of, because this isn't just a cut and dry issue. This isn't just something where everyone feels the same way. I mean, I speak to a lot of people who feel this way, and I monitor the mainstream media quite heavily every day. And one thing I have noticed, and this has been very, very interesting for me, is that over the last few weeks and few months, the media, who at one point were absolutely on board with the coronavirus narrative, are now starting to test the water in some respects. Or there are some sort of maverick journalists who are now starting to say, you know what, not too sure about this anymore. I'm absolutely not 100% convinced anymore. Whereas at one time, these people were going along with everything, absolutely going along with it, talking about it as if the government were completely telling the truth, and things seem to be changing slightly.
Well, we're going to have to unravel this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. So you mentioned people in the mainstream even, or in the media, starting to talk back against this. And of course, I've been much more focused on our stolen presidential election. And I've also gotten kind of the point where I have a hard time even monitoring the media. Are there voices that are like legitimately calling out the point of the coronavirus lockdowns and you know, some of the important who are attacking some of the important elements of this whole coronavirus response? Are they getting through? Are you seeing anything in the media? What are you seeing?
Well, there's been a couple of things, and I've posted them to my Telegram, and it's been very, very interesting to see this. Now, I'm going to read you a couple of these things because they are notable. Here's the first. Britain's deserted Nightingale hospitals. Doctors and nurses at facilities built to relieve strain on NHS wait for patients to arrive as they still lie empty despite rising COVID cases amid new mutant strain. Now, this is very interesting because in the UK, we had these hospitals which were termed Nightingale hospitals. And these Nightingale hospitals were built extremely quickly and they were thrown up with the intent that they were there to relieve the stress. Because one of the big things in the UK has been protect the NHS, protect the NHS, protect the NHS. And we've heard this again and again and again.
Protect them from the coronavirus, is that the idea?
Yeah, protect the NHS from the coronavirus. That has been the narrative from the government here in the UK. Now, we've heard this relentlessly to the point where it's become almost, it's become boring. It's become like a mantra. Protect the NHS. We must protect the NHS. As if it's zombies or cultists just repeating it over and we must protect. And we've heard this again and again. And one of the things they did to protect the NHS, or supposedly protect the NHS, was to build these so-called Nightingale hospitals. And these Nightingale hospitals were there to relieve stress on the majority of hospitals. So people who were in hospitals, who were maybe giving birth, who had cancer, were being treated for other medical problems, wouldn't have had to deal with these massive numbers of COVID patients, which were potentially meant to be sweeping, you know, coming in everywhere. There was meant to be, these people were meant to be arriving everywhere. And this was something the government was pushing, that the coronavirus was going to be the thing that broke the NHS.
And again, were the Nightingale hospitals intended for the people with coronavirus? Or
yes.
Out
with? Yes. Okay. The right. Nightingale hospitals were meant to be the overflow hospitals. So hospitals would have to remain open for cancer patients, for people who'd been in car accidents, people who needed accident emergency, people with other medical conditions that needed to visit a hospital, for women giving birth. Regular hospitals had to be open for business. And the coronavirus was going to put such stress and strain on the NHS that all of these patients that all these extra patients, all these COVID cases would have to go somewhere. So where were they going to go? They were going to go to these Nightingale hospitals. And we're being told every day, 35,000 new corona cases discovered today. Cases rise by an extra 26,000. Record rise in corona cases in Scotland. And you're thinking to yourself, well, this does sound pretty scary. An extra 35,000 people diagnosed with coronavirus today in the UK. Ooh, well, where are they? The Nightingale hospitals must be jam-packed by now. Yet they're not. They're actually completely empty. And they're completely empty because there may be 35,000 extra people today diagnosed with COVID-19. But the question you have to ask yourself is COVID-19 such a deadly disease that it's going to hospitalize all of these people? And the answer is no. The facts are that 50% plus of all people who get coronavirus don't get ill. They don't have any symptoms. They don't have any reaction to it. They go about their normal daily life and it passes over them and they're fine. That's it. The end. Nothing terrible. So if 35,000 people today get coronavirus, 17,500 plus of those people aren't even going to know they've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then of the remainder who have
and actually aren't even contagious, they're not contagious.
I don't know about that. I know that they don't get any symptoms. I'm not saying they're not contagious, but I know they don't.
Yeah, and asymptomatic people, it's come out that actually they're almost non-contagious.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. And I'll tell you why it doesn't surprise me. Coughs and sneezes and people spluttering are what spreads cold and flu. So if you're asymptomatic and you're not sneezing, you're not coughing, you're not spluttering, you are not going to be spreading the disease.
Yep. Okay, well, we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the home. Owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we are back. You know, I think people have been so, in so many ways, they've been, I don't know, indoctrinated, fooled, society's been destabilized. I know a smart young man. I was talking to him not too long ago. He's very intelligent. His mom is undergoing chemotherapy for cancer, and he's completely bought into everybody needs to be locked down so his mom doesn't die. And, you know, I explained to him, and I thought I did a good job of it, how, well, if his mother is being isolated, if the policy was simply to protect the vulnerable and let everybody else go about their business, and in going about their business, yeah, the virus is going to spread amongst the non-vulnerable people. And as it spreads, people develop immunity. You get the group immunity. And the length of period, the length of time that his mom would need to shelter would be much, much less. And isn't she in better shape only having to shelter or avoid contact with people for, 8 weeks as opposed to 8 months? Or and he thought, yeah, that makes sense. But is it moral? And I said, what's this whole moral thing? People have been so destabilized. I have one question. When you really, really think of it, it's none of this makes sense. But yet they've rolled this out. Would they have done this double or nothing game? Do you think they would have done this if, over the past 4 or 5 years, you didn't have Brexit, you didn't have Donald Trump. You didn't have these signs that people are catching on to the fact that something is wrong and, you know, trying to step up, trying to fight back through these populist movements. Do you think it would have happened?
That's a very interesting question, Patrick. And it's a question that I've pondered this myself for quite some time, because I've been thinking to myself, we're on the cusp of Brexit apparently being achieved. This year, we had the opportunity for Donald Trump to get a second term. And those two things would have been huge, huge negatives for the deep state and the political establishment. Those would have been two things that the deep state and the political establishment would absolutely not want. They don't want Brexit to be formalized and achieved. They don't want, or they didn't want Donald Trump to win a second presidential term. And bearing all of that in mind, I think there is the very, very realistic chance that this was all whipped up. Not the virus, I believe the virus to be real, but the response to the virus was whipped up to ensure that popular movements like the Trump movement and the Brexit movement didn't get their way. And as of yet, Brexit still hasn't happened. They are now still talking about trade deals. They're still talking about whether, you know, there's a potential prospect for a trade deal, or whether there'll be a no-deal Brexit. And I think when this deal, and I'm calling it a deal, but it'll most likely be a capitulation, does go through, this tier four lockdown in London and in other places will prevent any form of protest. It will prevent normal people going out there and saying, whoa, this isn't what we asked for here. This isn't what we were talking about. This is a load of nonsense. We didn't vote for this. This isn't what Brexit was meant to be about. Brexit was meant to be about us achieving a split from the EU, not about us capitulating and ending up in exactly the same position as we were before, but just without MEPs, so we didn't actually have any say. Because this is the big issue with Brexit. It could well end up with Britain in a position where we have exactly the same rules being imposed upon us, but we just don't have any MEPs or ways to turn around and fight back or give our opinions on the matter or to change anything from within the EU. So we could actually end up in a worse position. And if that happens, no one's going to be allowed to protest about it. No one's going to be allowed to do anything about it. And I think that was one of the things that harmed Trump, because mm-hmm. when all this fraud was going on, I've heard on numerous occasions that things which were clearly fraudulent, oh, they were done because of COVID. Mm-hmm. They were done because we had to be mindful of COVID, and we had to socially distance, and we couldn't allow people in there verifying the votes, and we couldn't allow this, and we couldn't allow that. COVID. There had to be more mail-in ballots because of COVID. Mm-hmm. There had to be more absentee ballots because of COVID.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's not even just a theory. That's just that is documentable fact.
Yeah, and I think this is all part of their agenda. And I think going forward, I think there's going to be several steps. I don't know how long we have to the break. Have we got a little while?
We've got a good 10 minutes.
Well, do you want me to tell you what I think's going to happen?
Please do.
Okay. Bear with me on this one. I think this lockdown is going to do several things, but it's going to usher in a new era here in the West. Now, this might not happen because people can push back against things and things can change. But this is what I believe they want. And if things carry on like this, this is what I believe they will get. The lockdowns will take away our rights. They will soften us up for accepting both a police state and a nanny state. And they will usher in an era where people are far, far more compliant to the idea that the government can say anything they want and the people just have to go along with it. That's the first thing. I think also it will ruin many people's businesses, make many, many people unemployed. I think it'll destroy any form of public gatherings or places where people would meet to discuss things like pubs, clubs, the town square, it will atomize everybody further. It will reduce everybody to being, or not everybody, but a huge number of people to being on a subsistence wage that the state is in charge of. So people will be on a tiny amount of money. That money will come from the state, making everybody completely dependent on the state. I think cash will be outlawed because it will be called a vector for spreading the disease. So not only is the government giving you money, but the government is making sure everything you spend is done through means that they can check and trace. And not only that, but they will have bulk access to bank account data, as they're doing in the UK, to apparently stop benefit fraud, because they're giving everyone the money. And your benefits will be largely dependent on whether you have a health passport and you have the right political opinions, etc. On top of that, part of their drive forward will be reduction of meat in diet. They're talking about within the next couple of years reducing the meat in our diet by 20%. They're obviously pushing this vegan nonsense more and more. Now, in times gone by, low meat diets, vegetable only diets, diets of vegetable gruel and a couple of pieces of fruit were called starvation diets. They were called starvation diets for a reason, because they left you starving. They left you lethargic, low testosterone, unable to do things, and really unwilling or unable to fight back against your oppressors, your masters. On top of that, here in the UK, they are banning the sale of petrol and diesel cars within the next 10 years. That will be huge. They'll be replaced by electric cars. So now you have people locked in their homes, you have the health passports, you have everyone being monitored by the government in terms of their banking, you have only card transactions, you have no cash, you have the health passport, you have very few people in work, you have nobody being able to go to the pubs or clubs or restaurants or meet in large groups to organise. And then on top of that, people can't get around, because once petrol and diesel cars go, everything will be electric cars. Once you're on to electric cars, you're in a situation which is very, very bad, because most normal people don't have a garage. They have a drive, or they have on-road parking. On-road parking or a drive isn't particularly conducive to the charging points you need to charge your car. On-street parking is very unconducive to that. So people who have street parking and don't have a drive definitely won't be able to have an electric car. People with a drive might be able to have an electric car, and only people with a garage will be assured of having an electric car. And then there's the additional cost of electric cars, which will price huge numbers of people out of the market. Now, that's the first thing. Many people won't have cars. They can't get around. They're isolated. They're atomized. Now they can't get around. Add to that the fact that the government is saying, well, electric cars are untaxable because they are carbon neutral. So we have to raise tax. So every electric car has to be fitted with a tracker, and we will charge you road tax by the mile. But that means the government knows everywhere you go. So most people are confined to the bus or the train, and only the rich and wealthy will have their electric cars, and they will be monitored everywhere they go, and everything they spend will be monitored via a card, and the government will have access to your bank accounts to make sure you're not doing anything naughty or fraudulent. You can see where this is going. And this is going to usher in this new world where they're re-establishing almost a medieval order. And this medieval order will be just like the old medieval order. It will be the landowners, the barons, the lords, the landed gentry, and then there'll be the peasantry, and we'll be the peasantry. And our meals will be low meat, low energy, vegetable gruel. We'll be stuck in our homes. We'll have to renew our health passports. We won't be able to own a car. We'll be living off government subsistence. We won't be able to run businesses. And the lucky ones will be people who work in Amazon or drive a van delivering Amazon goods, and they'll be the peasantry that are slightly better off. But the only people who will actually have any real quality of life will be that elite class of people. And if you want to liken it to something more modern, if you want to liken it to a film that people may have seen, if you've seen the film Elysium, Elysium is not the best film, it's quite good though, It's a Matt Damon film. And in Elysium, the world is like one big horrid dust bowl. It's a place which has been abused and ruined, and people live in poverty. It's a horrible life. But there's a space station called Elysium, which is basically paradise that orbits the Earth. And all the rich, the famous company owners, the global elite, they live on Elysium, and they live a life of complete luxury and doing nothing while the peasants toil away down on Earth. And I think that's what it's going to be like, except for Elysium isn't going to be a space station. Elysium will be a huge gated community or gated communities around the country where people live and they're happy and they are away from the problems and they're protected by private security, whereas we are going to live in overcrowded, tiny little pods, living on a horrible fruit and vegetable diet, not being able to get around, being monitored everywhere we go, and living off subsistence wages. I think that's what this is all building to. It's going to be very, very dark. And whilst all this is happening, the other side to this is record numbers of migrants are still flooding in. So the people that are being oppressed are not just going to face oppression from the government, they are also going to face the looming spectre of becoming a minority sooner than they thought they would be, and facing potentially hostile ethnic groups treating them in an unthinkable way and discriminating against them. And this is what the government is ushering in. And I think the government is going very, very quickly with this. They're moving things ahead faster than probably they planned to initially. And the reason they are willing to move things ahead this quickly is because Brexit and Trump scared them. It called their bluff. They didn't think that there would ever be resistance. They can see now that there is resistance. The resistance is organizing. People were starting to wake up. So they are trying to close things down and move their plan forward to ensure as little as possible in terms of resistance as they move toward their end game, which is obviously white people becoming a dispossessed minority of second-class citizen status in their own countries.
Well, okay, so now that we're talking about these big long-term trends, I think what you're talking about, something more or less like that, is the plan. To the extent there's a plan, it doesn't have to be one grand master plan, but that seems to be the direction things are going in. So here's a question. At the scenario that you're laying out, kids aren't really getting educated. People aren't really doing work. And of course, it's work that allows for, an economy isn't a money printing machine. An economy is the exchange of goods and services, and goods and services aren't really going to be produced nearly as much. Technology, there's always this idea that technology is just going to continue to advance, but it hasn't always been the case. You've had a fall of Rome and other declines of civilizations. And if kids aren't getting educated, are we really going to be able to maintain, put aside advanced technology, are we even going to be able to maintain it? Are we headed for like a giant decline or even collapse of civilization?
Well, we might do. The thing is, and people have got to remember this, we are moving into what could quite easily be termed uncharted waters. This is all the great unknown. You see, the governments and the global elites and the powers that be and the people that pull the strings, they do have grand plans. And they do have huge resources, almost bottomless pits of money, and they have planned this out, but it's very, very important to remember that despite the fact they've planned all this out, despite the fact that they've got all this money and this power and this wealth and the ability to do these things, they don't necessarily know exactly how things are going to pan out. Nobody does. No one can say conclusively how everything is going to end, how this is all going to how all this is going to end up. And it may well be that at some point, normal people just get sick of it. Normal people just say, enough is enough. I've had enough. I don't want to put up with this. And enough normal people, all at the same time, do something. That is a possibility. I think there is still hope. It sounds grim, but there is still hope. There's always hope. And I do speak to more and more people every day who are sick of what is going on.
Okay. We have a few more minutes on the other side, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, and so we only have a few minutes left. We've been talking about stuff. We haven't talked much about the election. The election, by the way, is still fake, and there is still stuff going on, and there's going to be a big rally in Washington, D.C., and probably elsewhere, but especially Washington, D.C., on January 6th. Hopefully, there will be a lot of stuff that happens. In the meantime, more and more evidence is coming out. We'll see what happens, but... That's still going on. But Mark, so you've got your weekly shows. You've got the Wednesday show where you have a guest. You've got the Friday, sometimes live stream, usually documentary. What do you have in store for us this week?
Well, this week, Friday is Christmas Day. and this is weird, I think it's the first time in about 4 years I won't be doing a video. Or will I? I may pre-record just a few minutes to say Merry Christmas to everyone and put that up. So it's not going to be a serious video. I've worked pretty hard this year. Most weeks I'm doing at least sort of 5-6 different appearances. And I know it's not the hardest job in the world, but it does tire you out, especially when you're doing these things on top of all the other things that you do, which we have to do, because we aren't well-paid politicians. We're not people who get hundreds of thousands of pounds a year and go to nice spas and relax and do things.
Repressed as we try to do the right thing and save us from these crazy overlords.
Yeah, for us, it's kind of like a non-stop lifestyle that, you know, it can be quite wearing at times, and we're obviously doing the best we can. We're obviously very proud of what we do, but it does take a lot out of you. And this Christmas, I will be having a short break between sort of Christmas Eve and New Year's Day, where I'll be slightly less active, but there will still be things going on, and I will still have a show on Wednesday night. I'm just finalizing the guest for that. But I would like to take a moment just to wish all your listeners a very, very Merry Christmas. It has been a difficult year. It hasn't been the year that we all wanted it to be, and I think we all know that. But there have still been positives to this year, and I think one of the big positives we've seen is that despite the hardships we faced, more people than ever before are waking up to the truth. More people than ever before are saying there's something wrong, whether that be something wrong with migration, whether that be something wrong with the electoral process, whether that be something wrong with the continual trade talks over Brexit that never seem to get anywhere. And this polarization of society and this waking up of the masses has continued despite the other problems that we faced. So it's not all been doom and gloom. And I think that next year will be very, very interesting. And I hope everyone sticks with this. I hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas, and I hope people feel very, very renewed for next year, because next year is going to be a massive continuation of this fight.
Well, thank you, Mark, for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.